If you didn't get to hear it, I don't have a CD ministry, obviously, but it is on December 2nd. If you ever wanted to hear like the first foundation of grace, I kind of broke down the different types of grace that we can receive from God and how to increase, how to position ourselves to receive more of His grace. So that was done on December 2nd. If you want it, you can write it down on the little back of the thing and drop it in the offering. All right, so I'm going to do a grace layer cake. Miss Jarrell, we know cake, right? Miss Jarrell, you know, the best cake out there, and I'm not normally a cake person, to be honest with you, but there's this thing called, like, the Great Wall of Chocolate at this Asian restaurant in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's, like, six layers of cake with, like, chocolate ganache on each layer, and I'm going, give me a glass of milk, and I'm going to go to town. Like, that was my kind of cake, and I'm a vanilla snob. I think it's a waste of time and space. I chocolate. So we're going to do a grace layer cake. Last time, we did the first layer, that little foundation layer of what is grace. Once again, the different kinds and how we position ourselves in faith to receive more of it. I'm going to try to do two layers today, okay? So hang in there with me. Obviously, we have lots of object lessons because I am a youth pastor. And hey, y'all love it. So we're going to do, okay, so we have the first layer of grace. And I got the next layer of cake and prayer. I've been hearing for the last month the word glory. And it's really cool when you start reading God's word, grace and glory are always appearing together. It's so amazing. So I was like, Lord, okay, grace, glory, I need a connector. So that little chocolate layer of ganache, right, ladies? Yeah. Righteousness, okay? So write down three words, grace, righteousness, and glory. We're going to dig in. So when I started digging around, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to start researching this out. I'm going to start digging into your word and seeing what some of the great theologians have said about grace and glory. And there's this guy, if you haven't heard of him, I hadn't heard of him either. His name is Alexander Payden. And he said, grace is young glory. And there's this other guy, Ray Charles Jarman, says, perhaps in reality, grace and glory are one. Perhaps God's grace is like a wondrous tree of which His glory is the fruit. So that got me thinking. So we have this apple, and the apple is the sweetest, most the greatest reward of growing that tree, right? The apple tree. So the apple is the glory of God that grows into fruition on the tree of His grace. And the more grace we receive in our lives, it starts turning to this delicious, sweet, amazing thing called glory. And it's the glory of God reflected in our lives to the world. And we're going to break that down. So this is some teaching. This is God teaching me stuff. So let's do a quick review. My people, my youth know review time, and I normally toss out some delicious snacks for Miss Jarrell. She donates towards the youth ministry. So I won't toss out snacks, but this is good stuff. So we're going to do a quick review. Strong's Concordance defines the word grace from the Greek word charis. And if you want to know how to spell it, it's like charisma, but you take out the ma part. So charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And most of us, especially when you read the Amplified Bible, grace is often defined as unmerited favor. But when you start digging into the original translations, Strong's Concordance says, grace is, it is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life. So God's character, God's nature, God's empowerment, all things that pertain to life and godliness here on this earth, His grace, undeserved, we don't deserve it, it's a free gift. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We receive it. And it hits our heart, changes our life. And then, this is the cool part, it's reflected into how we live, breathe, move on the face of this earth to become as He was on this earth. And that's when God's glorified, right? Because when I'm being like Jesus, am I glorified? No, other times I'm being like Sherry, and I'm not that cool, okay? So if I'm being Jesus on the earth, who gets the glory? God. So when we receive His grace in our lives, it is reflected for the glory of God. Receive grace, and bam, God is glorified. Ephesians 2:7 in the Amplified, I love this, says, Jesus did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart through us in Christ Jesus. So good. I get excited. I'm like, this is so good. All right. So this thing, when we receive the limitless, because there's no end. It's not like, oh, I get a little grace when I get born again. Isn't that wonderful? Look, I got saved. Does it end there? No. It's limitless. It's unending. It's an endless supply, as much as we want to receive, if you know you have access to it and you know what's out there. Well, now we know what we have access to. We know it's out there. We position ourselves in faith, and we get more. And more tastes good, right? Tastes like that layers of chocolate cake, or if you want to be healthy, you organic people, tastes like a good apple. Whatever. All right, so 1 John 4:17 says, by this love is perfected within us, so that we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So once again, we receive God's grace, not just to be saved, not just to be cleansed, saving grace, sanctifying grace, but to be as he was on this earth. And you're looking at me, yeah, Sherry, did you see me this weekend? Nothing like Jesus going on there. That's okay, because we have his grace, the empowerment to live above sin, the empowerment to be as he's called us to be, not in our own strength, but in his. And we're going to talk about how to keep tapping into that, okay? All right, so when we receive his grace, we get this implanting, this little apple seed of God's nature in us. And the more we receive it, the more we water it with his word. The word helps us grow. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God, and by doing the word of God, by stepping out in faith, it gets rooted and grounded. We don't forget who we are. Our identification in Christ is so a part of us. Him and me can't be separated. God nature, God DNA. Grace is God's DNA implanted us. My girl Whitney, she's downstairs teaching. She wants to be a CSI agent, okay? She's going to do great. She's not going to solve my murder. I'm going to live a really long time, and so is everybody else in here. But DNA is found at the crime scene, right? And they can go find out where it came from, okay? DNA, they can grow stuff out of DNA. We receive God's grace, God's DNA in us. And it changes us. We're like God mutants. Okay. I could do like some screen stuff, but I won't, because you guys would be like, why are you playing that in church? God mutants. We're mutants. It's awesome. Okay. All right. So now let's talk just to back paddle a little bit. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. Not of our own works, right? Right? And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So grace is the God part, faith is the us part. You guys remember this? Where's my men? Jacob and Darren. Can you do a quick toss? You didn't know I was going to do this, but this is quick review time. All right, so remember, okay, the God part is grace, the us part is faith. Okay, so Jacob, last time, were you a God? Were you the quarterback? All right, come stand up. All right, this is my God quarterback, this is my grace ball. All right? And this is my faith receiver, Darren. He didn't know I was going to do this. Okay, they haven't been practicing. So God has an endless supply of these glorious footballs and the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. Okay? Okay? And God is going, all right, I got all that you need in life. Get ready. And we on this side, the faith receiver goes, all right, I'm ready. I don't got to do anything. I'm just going to keep my eye on the ball. If you want to get closer, I'm okay with that. Oh, no, I'm kidding. All right. And I'm gonna receive it in faith. Faith receiver, us. That's our part. All we got to do is go, God, I can get it. Okay. Let it rip. God quarterback. Just throw that grace at our faith receiver who's got it. Bam! Those are my men! Oh my gosh! Good job! Instant in season and out of season. So good. Okay. So, faith appropriates what God provided by grace. Faith is a positive response. Faith is a positive response to receive what God has already done by grace. All right, you guys feel like you got that good foundation review? Review game, so much fun. Okay, so we got the cake layer, we got the grace layer. So let's talk a little bit about the next layer, and we're gonna connect it, okay? The next layer, layer number two, is his glory, which I gave you a sneak peek. What is glory? And you know, I've been to Bible school two times over, and it's really great when you really feel like you need to re-dig in, because retention is so good. So glory in the Hebrew word is kabod. I know, right? K-A-B-O-W-D. I always do these for daddy, because daddy did Greek words, whatever. All right, so Hebrew word kabod means God's honor, splendor, dignity, and abundance. God's honor, splendor, dignity, and abundance. It comes from this root word, kabad, means heavy or weighty. And that's what I remember. I was like, okay, the glory of God, it's God's weighted presence. It is a tangible thing. Anybody ever been in a move of God where it's so thick you don't even want to move? Every day here, right? Because we bring the glory. I don't got a glory machine, like a fog machine up here. I'm just going to spray it. I have a fog machine downstairs if you ever want it. Oh, spraying glass. No, we bring the glory. God's glory, his weighted presence. It is a tangible thing when the corporate anointing, when a gathering together of believers come in faith, built up, right? We all come in faith, built up. We don't argue with each other in the car on the way to church. Not that I grew up in a family that did that. You know, we come here in faith. I'm going to have an amazing time in worship. Now I'm ready. No. Right?
Yeah, they're ready.
That's right, because we bring the tangible presence of God, and it's transferable. Did you know that? Hey, you remember this guy named Moses? if you want to read it for yourself for the sake of time, it's Exodus 33, 18 through 23. And Moses goes up to the Lord and goes, Lord. And Moses walked with God. He's a friend of God, okay? Lord, show me your glory. Oh, we sing this, don't we? Show me your glory, God. Here's the bummer about the Old Testament. He says, you know what? You can't handle it all. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to show you my graciousness. Oh, interesting. You have to see the glory. And the Lord says, my graciousness, my goodness, my loving kindness. I'm going to show it to you, but you can't see my face because you wouldn't live. So I'll just show you my back. Bum deal for Moses. Okay. So Moses caught a glimpse of God's glory. And it was a loving God thing, okay? He loved him so much that he knew by the Old Testament, the catch was this, there was still sin rolling, okay? They hadn't been redeemed. Jesus hadn't come. So were those traces of sin in their lives, and they literally physically could not handle the full encompassing, face-shining glory of God, because their body would be like, they die. And you can study that in your own time in the Old Testament, talk about people that maybe dropped dead in the tent. Okay? So Moses, once again, tangible presence of God, transferable. What happened to his moneymaker when he walked down that mountain? That's right. That's right, Grandma. He taught me this story. It shone. His face shone the transferable glory of God, and he only got a glimpse of his backside. That's right. You see where I'm going, guys? So what happened? This guy named Jesus came, right? And his blood washed away every trace of sin. Oh, we sang about it. So beautiful. I'm like, crying. No, his blood washed away every trace of sin. Squeaky clean, exfoliated, shining. So what happens now? We were set up to be able to now receive the full Monty glory of God, because Jesus bought us back. Jesus' blood washed us and cleansed us. So we can handle it. Not in our own strength, though, right? Oh, that's right. The grace of God positions us by faith to receive his entire nature. It's exciting. Because you remember when Jesus' face shone? After he had that the Mount of Transfiguration? He shone. And as he is, so are we. Second Corinthians, if you want to turn there, we're going to read a few verses. There's so much. Maybe I'll teach on this again next month. There's so much good stuff. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11. This time I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It's a really good Bible for new believers or people that you don't want to lose kind of the full meaning of God's word, but at the same time you want to cut out all the weird language that you need a dictionary for. This one I hand out to my youth. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11, New Living. The old way with laws etched in stone, Ten Commandments, Moses, you remember that guy? Led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face because it was shining God's glory. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. That was the heartbreaking part. Oh, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, the Old Testament, which brings condemnation, was still glorious, God was in it. It was his word. It was so beautiful. It was still glorious. How much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? Right with God is righteousness. Oh, there's my ganache. Okay, remember that one. Lost my place, so really remember that one. here it is. Verse 10. In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? The new covenant, which is based upon the grace of God, is a covenant of overwhelming glory, where the divine influence of God's grace upon our heart reflects in an overwhelming kind of way. Because freely we receive, freely we give. How much more glorious is it? How much more glorious can it be? But are we limiting how much glory we think we deserve to give? Well, we're going to talk about that. Jonathan Edwards, he has a really cool story, an anointed man of God, the turn of the century. He said that grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. Turn to John 17, 20. And 22. And this is Jesus talking about his disciples. And we're Christ followers, right? So we're his disciples. So he's talking about us. Jesus says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. The message was what was written down in God's word. I have given them the glory you gave me, he's talking to the Father God, so that they may be one as we are one. You know, here's what's really wild. God originally created mankind to walk in his glory. Remember Adam? Kind of messed up. That's another use for the apple, but we'll skip it for the sake of time. Adam was created to walk in God's glory, totally uninhibited because there was no sin in his life, right? And then we had a little bit of a debacle, a little bit of a faux pas, a little bit of a mess up. He ate the apple, okay? He invoked sin, and he forfeited that. But who won it back? Jesus. So the first Adam messed up, and then the last Adam came to restore to us the glory of God. Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says, what, okay, it's talking about us human beings. What are mere mortals? That's us. Verse 5 of Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. It's talking about God. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. So Jesus came to restore the glory of God because he delivered us from sin. And we were reunited with God and once again became partakers of his glory. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 and 18. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, a turning is a repentance, right? Repent means to turn, to make a decision. It's not just, I'm sorry. I'm always sorry when I sin. I don't know about you. Wish I hadn't said that one. No, it's a turning. So whenever I turn to the Lord, when I ask God to come into my life and make me new, what happens? Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So that all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is a spirit, makes us more and more like him, grace DNA, as we are changed into his glorious image. So this whole veil thing, you guys remember when talked about a veil in the Old Testament? What was that? It talked about that veil. Jesus died on the cross, right? You remember that? What happened when he died? The veil that was in the temple, which was an outward symbolism for what separated us and them. Us as in we walk in his glory. So it separated the children of Israel, or humanity, from the presence of God. What separated mankind from the presence of God was this veil. And Jesus died on the cross and the earth shook. And what happened? The veil tore. And it wasn't just a little bit. The whole sucker tore to the very bottom. The thing that separated, dramatic effect, the thing that separated us from God, the veil was torn. And what does that scripture just say? To reflect God's glory. So the glory of God came down and reflected off us to where? To the world around. This is so exciting. This is so thrilling. Sorry, am I blinding y'all? Okay? This mirror, this us, this renewed, recreated, blood washed, not a spot of sin on this baby. The veil was torn that separated us from God. So for the first time since Adam walked the earth, we could fully reflect the glory of the Lord. Sorry, it was hitting right in Shauna's face. So you felt that glory, Shauna. Okay? To the world around us. You getting it? Oh, grace is the divine influence upon the heart, reflected in one's life. You start receiving enough of that. That's right. The glory of the Lord comes down, reflects in our life to the world around us. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. So all that false humility gets kicked right out right there, right? Oh, God, I don't want any attention. Jeez, Lord, I just want to sit in the back row and just take notes. We receive his glory to give it. It's not about us. It's not about our lives. It's not about our ministries, our businesses, our families. It's about who? So when we receive the unmerited favor, the unmerited favor, the gifts and the callings, every single person in this room is called of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who chooses? We choose. Every single person in this room has very specific gifts, callings, and abilities. Miss Jackie has incredible. Have you ever tasted this woman's cooking? This woman can cook. You have specific God-given abilities for His glory. Oh, her abilities are different. Joanne, oh, I love Joanne. This is my Aunt Joanne. Oh, this woman has an incredible, not just, she is a beautiful singer, but she has an incredible talent to just minister to women. Like, it's amazing. This woman, actually, I am who I am today because of this woman laid her life down and poured into me, okay? So, but no one's better than the other, is it? Uh-uh. Because Joanne probably can't do what Miss Jackie can do with a few ingredients, let me tell you, okay? Miss Jackie, I don't see you on the worship team, but if you need to, if you can sing, let me know. I will put you up there real quick. As soon as I find out you have musical talent, I instantly put you on the worship schedule, okay? So both of these talents and abilities were for the glory of God. So why are we hiding on the back row, taking notes? False humility. You're just hiding because you're scared. I should know. I was doing that for like 9 years. Okay? Takes one to know one, all right? All right. So where am I at my notes? Fun times. Okay. We can see God by Jesus, His Son, and we reflect His glory. So sometimes you're kind of like, well, I don't know if I can see God's face. Can you see Jesus? Man, I read the Word of God, and the Word was made flesh. I see Jesus. We can see Jesus. Therefore, we can see His who? His Father. We receive. We can see it. We reflect it. It's so simple once I studied it out. Okay. So God's grace, by His grace, we are empowered to live lives that reflect God's dignity, splendor, honor, brightness, majesty, with praise and glory. All blessing, all glory, all honor, all power to Him forever. You know the songs. His grace. So, okay, this is the part that was really stirring in me. Because I was this person. I know these people. It's us. Why do we disqualify ourselves? We kind of get the whole veil torn in two. But the whole, like, oh, receiving God, reflecting God's glory, being glorious. Like, oh, okay, if you even believe me, if you even just follow the scripture and take a leap of faith and you believe me, but then you're like, I don't know if I'm qualified for that one. Sorry, my nose. We disqualify ourselves to reflect the glory of God. Why? All the time. Gosh, we could do a list of 20, but I'll give you 4 for you note takers. We disqualify ourselves to reflect the glory of God because, 1, we don't understand or believe our righteousness, our right standing with God, our positioning. I am right with God. Because we are joint seated with Him in heavenly places. We are joint heirs with Him. I could quote a lot of scripture. Our righteousness is in Him, beside Him, because that's why He died. But we don't really get it. I'm just being honest. My people perish for lack of knowledge. 2, we don't know our blood-bought position. Kind of goes back up to that. Well, here's a fun one. Us as the church. Oh, gosh. I so have been here. 3, we are obsessed with trying to pay Him back. Now, many of you in this room are going to say, well, I know I am not justified. I'm not made right with God because of all the little good things that I'm doing. No, that would be works mentality. Oh, that's sin. But a lot of you, if we don't feel good enough, if we wake up feeling really crummy about our life, our day, how we maybe cussed out somebody that cut us off on the road, how we maybe got in a huge argument, how maybe we acted on the weekend, it's really funny You do one of two things. You just don't go to church because I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to think about getting in the presence of believers because, oh, I'll feel so exposed and unworthy. Or you just try to do a lot of good stuff to outweigh it. I'll volunteer at the charity. I'll volunteer for the worship team. You know, I'll be a Sunday school teacher. I'll pick up all the neighborhood teenagers and bring them to church. We get obsessed with trying to pay them back. Now, we all say we're not works-based, but you know a tree by its fruit. And this corrected me, because I'm a Martha, if you know me. Stacy's known me, like, forever. I'm a go, do, roll with it kind of person. That means I like doing a lot of good things, because it makes me feel real good, doesn't it? Kind of offsets. We get this tally sheet in life, all the bad things that I did this week, and all the good, better. Oh, yeah. Totally outweighed the bad. I feel good about myself. I at least feel better about myself. I might just come to church on Sunday because I'm feeling good. But I'll tell you what, if you had a bad week, I felt bad about my life. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm not coming to church because I don't feel like I am worthy to reflect the glory of God with all my other believers. But the funny thing is, the 100 other people that are sitting here feel the same way. And we are obsessed, number four, with our sin consciousness. You know, this is the funny thing about the enemy. The enemy is nasty. He is like the ultimate mind game player. Oh, he messes with our head. So funny, you didn't even do anything, but you thought about it. A really good-looking guy walks by playing basketball with his shirt off. Oh my gosh, I'm lusting! God said that I may as well just committed adultery or fornication. Oh, okay. What is this? Oh, we are obsessed with this sin consciousness. Even if you didn't do it, you just felt bad for thinking it. Where'd the thought come from? Satan. Joyce Myers, woman of God, Joyce Myers. I tell you what, I taught this with my girls group on A Battlefield of the Mind. Read that book. I've read it like 5 times. Change your life. Joyce Myers says, you can't keep a bird. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, right? But you sure as heck can keep it from nesting in your hair. I had to read that like 5 times. I'm like, oh, Joyce, a bird. Okay, so thoughts from the enemy. He's going to hit you. Sometimes he'll even twist God's word, just like Jesus did. Jesus was tempted, remember, and Satan twisted God's word. He plays dirty. So you better know your word. You better know the context of it, guys. So you better read it, because then you can really identify the enemy. So we beat ourselves up for having a thought. Oh, guilt, condemnation, shame. I shouldn't even be thinking about this. I feel horrible. We are obsessed with this sin consciousness. Oh, I feel so dirty. I can't go to church. I feel dirty. I can't go to that outreach. Oh, I can't talk to my coworker about God because you just see me this weekend. Sin obsession. So I got 3 points, and for the sake of time, I may not give you the millions of scriptures that I have, but for the 3 points to counteract the disqualifications of life, for grace and glory, by the way, that's the title of my message, for grace and glory for you note takers. For grace and glory, you are qualified. You are qualified. Because God has ordained his church, his people, us, to be glorious. Romans 8:29-30 says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Having called them, he gave them right standing. Oh, there's the chocolate. Right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. He called us by his grace to be glorious. Why? Because every daddy wants his kids to be awesome in life, right? That's why we have all the obnoxious mothers in the band section just screaming at their kid, you know? All the dads, you know, on the baseball field, you know, God, be great! I want you to be great! Aren't you glad we don't have the control freak father in heaven? No, we don't, okay? God wants us, because we're his children, to be glorious because he's glorious. And it's not like you oughta. It's a, oh, you can. Because I gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness through your big brother. Be glorious. Because you're my kid. And I love you. And you don't have to do anything. Just stand up. Hold your head high. When you've done all that you know to do, stand. With your head up. I know so many beat down Christians in life. I've met beat down pastors too, and it's heartbreaking. Oh, man, life is so hard. Just trying to get through every day. You know, just trying to just take it one day at a time. Got their head down. Sin consciousness. So obsessed with just trying to do the right thing every day. Trying to be good. Trying to get through this weary world. Oh, this economy. It's tough. You don't know my life. Their head's down. God says, look up. Hold your head high. Stand. You're glorious, because I gave you my son. Let it not be in vain. You're glorious because of his grace. Keep your head up. Emotional. I can't see my notes. It's great. It's why he flooded our lives with the amazing grace, the unmerited favor, as well as his glory, to make us partakers of his divine nature. Partakers of his divine nature. Grace DNA. Be mutants. It's a youth pastor in me. Be a mutant. Take on his DNA. Let it transform you into something mind-blowingly powerful, glorious, with the gifts and talents and abilities. The gifts and talents and abilities that are different than every other person in this room. Be a mutant. God mutant. Go fly. I don't know. Whatever God's told you, you can do in his strength. Jesus already qualified you for the life and ministry he called you by his blood. We know this because of 2 Corinthians 3:5-6. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6 says, it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He enables us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not written of laws, but of the Spirit. Catchphrase, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Not that I recommend tattoos, but that'd be a really good one. Stop disqualifying yourselves. And stop disqualifying everybody else around you. Oh, the log out of my eye. The speck in someone else's. Why are they up there on the worship team? Their skirt's a little short. Why are they teaching children's school? Their marriage is a mess. Stop disqualifying yourself. And stinking stop disqualifying everybody else around there, okay? Here's the funny thing. We're a big team, right? Whether you're Lutheran or Methodist or whatever your upbringing is, okay? We're all on Christ's team. Stop disqualifying the church in the corner, because you know what? They do something really good. They may do the best VBS in town. Oh, they're not spirit-filled. They sure get them born again, though. Somebody's got to do it. Are you going to do a VBS? Stop disqualifying the church on the corner. They're on our team. You start beating up your team members, how does your team do on the field? Not so good, right? Qualified in Christ. Your neighbor is qualified in Christ. Why don't you start rooting for them? Why don't you speak into the things that are in their life that aren't as though they are? Maybe the most selfish, nose-picking, lazy Christian in the world drops the F-bomb every day. Tell you what, you know what? I'm going to go with Miss Jewel. We're going to go do an outreach. Why don't you come with me? Come with me. We're going to go minister. We're going to go minister in downtown York. We're going to hand out some cake. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm a new Christian. I'm a baby Christian. So what? You're qualified, aren't you? You got a story, don't you? God did something in your life, didn't he? Well, yeah, I sleep finally for the first time in my life. That's a big deal. But you got a testimony then. Well, I wasn't delivered from drugs and alcohol and beating my wife. I sleep now. I can sleep at night. I suffered from insomnia in college. It's rough. That's a testimony. I actually like myself now. I can receive God's love in my life, and I felt so unworthy my whole life. That is a testimony. You are qualified. No matter big, no matter how small. I'm not Joyce Myers. Thank God. We only need one. She changed the world. She's awesome. I got a different corner, okay? Everybody in here does. So qualify people around you, all right? We are righteous in Christ, so don't give up your position. Sports analogies. You know this is a faith thing because I didn't play sports, okay? So, the game of life. Stepping up. Really excited about doing good in life. Whew, I missed that ball. Shoot. Okay. That was a foul and I swung anyway. That was me in phys ed all the time. I just swing. I just gonna swing no matter what. Good ball, bad ball, I'm swinging. A for effort. Okay, after you miss a couple balls, oh, you're feeling real good about yourself. You think the whole world is laughing at you, disqualified you. And here's the funny thing. Your team's still cheering for you. Or they should be. So what do? I didn't like that bat anyway. Whatever, I didn't ask to be a great Christian. I was just trying to get into heaven. Still smell like smoke. Only been saved 2 years. I'm messing up like every day. Okay? Every day. Messing up. Sin is missing the mark. That's what my dad used to always say. Sin is like missing the mark. We are archery people. I tried. Once again, that was me in archery. So we mess up. We miss a few balls. We miss the mark. We take ourselves out of the game. I'm going to go sit on the bench. I'm fine. We're good. Didn't like the bat. I really stink at this game anyway, so I'm just going to go sit down and watch everybody else play and give in the offering and take some notes. Because I'm not as good as they are. I'm just going to sit on the bench and cheer you on. And you know the funny thing? God didn't take you out of the game, did he? Coach didn't put you on the bench, did he? You did. And your team needs you on the field. You wonder why? If you don't like the church of today, if you think it has lost its relevancy, it's full of legalism, and what are you doing? You see it, you own it. Go be the answer. Stop pointing out the problems all the time. My dad told me that. I'm really critical by nature, P.S. I'm a problem solver. I did customer service for years. So you show me a problem, I'll see a problem, I'll fix it, whatever. I had to retrain my brain. I had to actually renew my mind to be solution-oriented, to see the solution and to be a part of it. So it's so funny. We pulled ourselves out of the game because we feel horrible. We sit on the bench, and you know who's waiting for you? Oh, Satan's so ready for this one. He's sitting right beside you. Sit right next to me on the bench. Watch this one play out. In fact, here's a boxing glove so you can beat the tar out of yourself. I'm just going to sit on the bench through guilt, condemnation, and shame. Beat the tar out of myself. I'm going to beat myself up. Satan goes, I don't even have to do it for you. You're so obsessed with sin. You're so obsessed with not being good enough. You can just beat your own self up. You disqualify yourself. Here's a boxing glove. Go at it. Oh, this is easy. Satan's like, I don't even have to mess with them anymore, man. One thing doesn't go their way. Man, shoot, they got off key in the worship team. Oh, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm not called. That's right. That's my man, Darren. Get back up to bat. Because the whole team should be rooting for you, and we know the coaches. I'm going to keep throwing you balls in life, and you're going to hit them by my grace in faith. Just stand up, hold your head high, and you keep swinging in life. I don't care how many times you mess up. You're my kid. You're my kid, and I'm so proud of you just for being on my team and just for playing the game, because you are glorious, because that's the way I see you. Not because what you do, because you got my name. It's my kid. Look at my kid. Well, your kid just missed three balls. That's my kid. That's my kid out there. Look at him play. I'm going to skip through. Well, let me think here. You guys having fun? You feel encouraged, exhorted? Huh? Glorious? That's right. Romans 8, 1 through 3 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, because you belong to him. The power of the life-giving spirit, life-giving, giving, freely giving, undeserving, has freed you from the power of sin, consciousness, that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of their sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body, like the bodies we sinners have, in the body that God declared to the end to end sin's control over, by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus already paid the price. You're qualified. You're righteous. You're a winner. You're glorious because you're my kid. It's in your DNA. You're going to be great. Whatever. I was an awesome ball player. You got my DNA. You're going to be great. Don't worry about it. Stay out there. You'll grow. You're only 8 years old. It's fine. Got a whole lifetime to go to the Super Bowl. Whatever. You're my kid. You got my DNA. It's in you. The Old Testament law demanded righteousness from sinful men, where grace imparts righteousness. Here's a fun example, okay? So here's this thing. Okay, the Old Testament law, this is like, I felt so bad for anybody living back then. They didn't have deodorant, they smelled bad, and they were under the law, okay? So it's like the Old Testament, the old way of doing things, the legalistic way was, hey, balding man, sorry guys, balding man, thou shalt not be bald. And he's like, seriously, alien landing pad on the back of my head. Like, I can't help it, okay? My hair is falling out. What am I supposed to do? Okay, I got it. I'll figure it out. There's a lot of Rogaine out there. I'm going to buy every single brand, top of the line, pile up my cart, squirt it on my head, wash it, do it every day, three times a day. I'm in the Word, three times a day. Man, I'm going to go to all those hair club for men meetings. That'll do it. I'm going to go to every church service I can possibly get a hold of. I'm going to travel all over the world to visit my favorite preacher. I'm going to give like thousands of dollars in the offering. I just got to grow this hair back because God said, thou shalt not be bald. And I'm balding. My hair is falling out in front of everybody sees me. I got to get a toupee and some of that spray hair to cover it up. Here's what grace says. Grace says, you're perfect. You're my kid. Here's your hair. Bam. Receive it in faith. Oh, my gosh. It's thick and glorious. Okay. It's really funny, but we got to just quit trying, and just know that God has given you the grace, the divine empowerment, not as a license to sin, but the divine empowerment to be as he is on this earth. Hold your head high. You stay in the game. Receive his glorious nature in faith, because that's all you need to do, right? It's not about trying, being really good at trying. Some of us are real good at trying. Everybody thinks we are so holy. And here's another thing. Our mouth shapes our world. The spoken word is the most powerful thing on the face of the universe, the spoken word. So confessing that I am the righteousness in Christ Jesus, it's a good thing. But don't confess yourself to be righteous. I'm righteous. I messed up again. I'm righteous. No, I got to be righteous. I'm going to just say it all the time. No, you say, I am the righteousness of Jesus. I am glorious. I am full of his grace because you are. Not to get there. Just believe it and say it. It shapes your world, shapes your life. All right, now I'm going to wrap it up. We can't pay back a debt that has already been paid. So stop trying to pay back Jesus. You got this glorious, beautiful, beautiful house. And you have this huge mortgage, and you are just beating the tar out of yourself to pay it off, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then Jesus came, and he paid that whole puppy off. Paid it all off on the cross. One big down payment. And the creditor says, listen, it's been paid for. And what are we doing? We're striving for the next 30 years. Oh, scraping up to working four jobs, trying to scrape every penny together. I got to pay off this mortgage. I can't sleep at night. It's already paid. I'm going to keep sending in payments. It's already paid. You're wasting your time, wasting your energy, losing sleep because it's already been paid. Live in that glorious house. Give God the glory. Be as he's called to be. Stay in the game. We are not defined by our past, good or bad. Perfect example, the Apostle Paul. Man, he was so good at being good, but he was so good at being bad at the same time. You couldn't really figure out if he was a good guy or a bad guy. I don't know if I want him on my team. Oh. So after he goes on a page of self-righteousness, oh, I went to the best schools. I was so good at being a good person. Gosh, they wrote books about me. They did TV spots about me. And what's he say? Philippians 3, 8 through 10 says, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish, trash, garbage, refuse. There are other words you could use, but this is recorded. That I may gain Christ, and that I may actually be found and known as in him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Forget the tally sheet. Forget the good, the bad. Where do I fall? Should I feel good about myself? Should I go to church? I feel bad. And just pursue his presence. Just be found in him. The greatest joy in Paul's life was saying everything that I ever did good in life means nothing. Everything that I ever did bad in life, this is where we get excited, means nothing. I just want to be found in him. I just want to seek his heart every day. I want to just spend time with my daddy God and my big brother Jesus. I want to saturate myself in the presence of the Holy Spirit at home, at church, in the workplace, in my car, while I'm driving, in the shower. I want to be found in him. So point two and three, I'm just going to give you real quick. For the grace and glory, you are equipped. If you want those, get that first CD on December 2nd, talking about sharing grace, serving grace, everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness, 1 Peter 4:10. Everything that you need. As each one has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine empowerment, minister it for one another. As good stewards of God's many-sided grace, he equips you for his grace and glory. But those talents, you bury them. Oh, it's just for me. I'm good. I'm not qualified. I don't have the right clothes. Sherry, I don't really have nice clothes and pants that are five sizes too big. I don't know about that whole public stuff. I'm good on that back row, doing my little thing. I have a little talent. I knit. I'm going to just knit at home for my family. It's good. Well, go knit baby hats for every person in York Hospital. And go in there and you tell them God loves them and God has a plan for their kid. And God's given you the wisdom to raise that kid as a world changer. Oh, whoa, that's glorious, isn't it? And last one. For the grace and glory of God, you are empowered. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that strengthening grace. And like I said, for the sake of time, I will skip pages here for you. And we're going to pull it all in. Here's the close. It's time for his church. to be glorious. Who's the church? We are. Is it the YCF building? Oh. Is it the church down the corner with the great BVS? We are, the whole church. Okay? I read a scripture that got me on this track, and I couldn't shake it. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And you and I said, let it be this year. Because we're glorious. We bring the tangible, transferable presence of God, don't we? By faith, not because we're perfect. Because God says, you are perfect. You're my kid. Let the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, Lord. Use my life because I'm qualified in you, because I love you. And, you know, sometimes they're like that false humility kicks in. You don't want to take anything away from God. You know, it's all about him, not about you. You don't want to go up there and do your thing, you know, because people, they get your eyes on you. No, come on, y'all. That was a lie. I get you on the bench. Like, you know, it's so funny in Revelations when it talks about the elders in the throne room, if you want to read it later, Revelations 5, 9 through 10, the elders in glorified bodies given by the grace of God are just so God-obsessed, so God-centered, not sin-centered, not disqualifying. Like, they are in the throne room of God giving blessing and honor and glory and power. They are glorious because they received it, and they are so overwhelmed with what God did for them. All they do is return it to him in praise and worship. You see this cycle? You see this endless cycle of grace, righteousness, and glory. And he returned it to him in praise and worship. That was God's intention. Revelations 5, 9 through 10 says, For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This is God's desire and purpose for our lives. So it's time to awake, right? Where's V? This is my girl, V. V was preaching to me for the last month on awake the church, awaken the saved. It's my girl. Awaken the saved. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, says, awake to righteousness. You are glorious. Rise up through faith. Get on the team. Get on the ball. Start swinging because you're his kid. Receive his grace. Receive his grace. Reflect his glory for the glory of God. Stop disqualifying yourselves and everyone else around you because, team, it's time for the church to be glorious. It's time for the church to be glorious. Let the whole earth be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, and it starts with me. You want to experience the tangible presence of Lord, the transferable presence of Lord. Spend time super saturating yourself just with him. Be found with him. Oh, and come to this house. It's your house. It's just the building. We're the church. Come to this house. Going, I am a carrier of the glory of God. And I can't wait to get around my brothers and sisters in Christ to fill this house with the tangible presence of God and return it to him through praise and worship. And then I'm going to go out. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to go make a dinner for my family. I'm going to invite everybody over, the worst of them all. And I'm going to be glorious, even if I mess up, even if I say something stupid. I'm gonna reflect his glory. No matter how many times I miss in life. Oh, I'm gonna reflect his glory because I'm his kid. All right, church, stand up. If you're awake now, if you're asleep, everybody will know. We're gonna pray. I would ask the elders to please come forward if you're an elder at YCF to minister. I'm going to pray if God is working on your heart, if there's anything that you need counsel, wisdom, or just someone to stand with you to get your head back up. Get your head back up. They're going to stand with you. It's good to pray. It's good to pray with other people that are going to fight alongside you and qualify you. when you have a hard time qualifying yourself. So the elders are up here. When I'm done praying, if you would like to talk to them, they are available. And then you are dismissed. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this message. It's your message. It's your word. And you have ingrained your word in our hearts and minds. It is so imprinted on us. God, I thank you that you have called us to be glorious. God, I thank you the works that you have started in us, you will bring into completion. And the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, church, you're dismissed. Be who you're called to be.